Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We love Allen Robinson. He's a great player for us, Jason. We know that. And not just the player, but the teammate, the professional that he is. Again, the franchise tag is an option for us. It doesn't mean we're necessarily going to use that. But we want to keep our good players, and Allen is a good player for us.
He's more than a good player. He's the guy every quarterback is always looking for because he's the only guy they can trust when he's kind of covered to try to make a play.
I don't get this, man. I don't get this at all. First of all, why are you discrediting the excellent decision you made in signing him? What is that? Allen Robinson is considered, if he were to go into the free agent market, one of the most coveted talents there is. And suddenly the Bears are like, well, he's pretty good. What are you talking about? You made the right decision with this guy. And now you're discrediting your decision by being all wishy-washy about this?
Well, we heard Dan Pompey earlier today from The Athletic, who was on in his regular time with Mully and Haw, and he characterized this as relatively simple. In that there's a valuation disparity here, that Allen Robinson is pricing himself among and alongside the top tier of wide receivers around the league, and the Bears maybe want to pay him like the next level underneath that and not quite with the absolute top tier of guys.
And that to me is, okay, so after our show yesterday, I was giving it a lot of thought because we talked about how Nagy has removed himself from the defensive side of the ball to an extent and is focused on the offensive side. And that's cool, except that's a side that's not really producing as well as it should. So we're focused on the best player who has produced the most on the offense and the idea of losing him. When the offense is such a focus for this team, we're talking about the idea of losing Allen Robinson for no good reason. Consider what he's done for your team, your priority, your star, your baby, whatever you need to see.
He was on the Chris Collinsworth podcast, and he made it clear that he's not begging for a contract, but he also understands that having the franchise tag put on him would be at the very bottom of his list.
We haven't had contract talks, and again, I mean, I'm not because of I had spoke to somebody, you know, a couple weeks ago, and it was a whole story that came out. And I mean, I'm not begging anybody to pay me, you know, like that's not where I'm at. You know, I know what I bring to the game. I know what I can do, you know? So again, I'm not begging, you know, I'm not asking. Whatever happens may happen. And at the end of the day, it's a business, you know, and as you go through this thing a couple of times, you know, you understand that on both sides, from the player side, it's a business, you know, based on them and what they're factoring into their career. And I understand on the other side, it's the same way, you know? So again, I mean, whatever happens with that, you know, happens, but you know, whatever the next chapter is for me, you know, I'm definitely excited and looking forward to it because it's, you know, for myself, I think that I'm, you know, definitely deserving of a long-term deal, you know, not only as a player, you know, but as a person who is involved in the culture. You know, I'm a person who I feel like I've helped build Chicago's culture. And I think wherever, whether it be Chicago or somewhere else, wherever my next stop would be, I think that I will be a contributing factor to that culture, you know. And again, for myself, is, you know, that's a significant value, you know. And when you talk about, you know, a 1-year deal or whatever the case may be, something that you're kind of forced into as a player, you know, when you're coming off of 3,000 yards in 3 seasons, when you help take a team to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years, you know, it's like you do feel deserving of the long term, no matter where that would be. You know, I think that's what kind of makes the franchise tag so tough. It's not the fact that, I mean, I think I can get a long term deal probably in 31 other teams, you know. Now, depending on how that may look, depending on teams' caps and the players they have and stuff like that. But as a player, that should all kind of be up to your discretion. You know, it's like you can factor things in and say, you know, do I want to take what here? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? But the franchise tag really kind of hinders you. And then again, I mean, it puts a lot of stuff back onto the player, you know, especially in my situation where, again, you know, I think that I brought a lot to the game over the past 3 years, you know, so that's a very tough situation, you know, and for myself, you know, I probably would say that's definitely, you know, on the bottom, you know, of my list of choices.
I am not the person who advocates for this kind of stuff if you haven't earned it, but he has earned this. Consider Allen Robinson the individual who's produced for your team. He has had injury issues. He has been consistent. He has made a lot of bad passes completed because of how he's been able to get off the line of scrimmage, contort his ball, be in the space that he needs to be in. He has made your quarterbacks look good at times where they didn't.
I don't think the Bears disagree. I really don't. I think this is probably in the edges somewhere. The Bears don't think he sucks. They're not trying to get. I think obviously they. There's no secrets here. I don't think there's sort of this wide gap. I think this is a negotiation.
If there are no secrets, then why didn't they acknowledge this in a more proactive and direct manner 2 days ago?
Because I think it's a negotiation. I think they want to sign him to a contract. I think the first priority is to get him signed to a multi-year contract. All this stuff goes away once that's done.
This is cool if you're a secondary player, I think, if you're not Allen Robinson. But he's been the one producing for your coveted offense that has taken all the focus off of your defense that you feel good about. Like, just that's the thing that's producing.
Unless they're thinking like we saw with Golden Tate getting released yesterday and everything that we're hearing about a glut of talent in the market, that maybe they're prioritizing cap stuff. I mean, I think it's all right in front of us.
Golden Tate was also traded for a third rounder.
Yeah, I think that he wants more money than the Bears think he's worth at this point. I think it's just as simple as that.
Yes, which is true. The Bears, noted with their record of offensive talent evaluation, have a certain opinion of what they should pay Allen Robinson. The league has a different opinion.
But they also have the tag, and that's the thing, is that they still have leverage because they can tag him, and that changes the equation. I think that in the Bears' mind, there was a number there. The Bears like, we love you, we think you're great, but we don't love you that much and think you're that great because that money we just can't do. We can't. So ultimately, I think it's fairly simple. I think a lot of this, the reason he's doing these things and the reason his agent is on Twitter and all this stuff is part of a public negotiation. And it still may work out, and it still may say, look, you want to avoid the tag. This is guaranteed for the next 3-4 years what you're going to make. Maybe he says yes.
In my mind, he's a priority. Other players have not proven to be such a priority. He's not the guy you wait to figure out until you know your cap number that well.
Well, we also hear in how he's talking about free agency potentially and how this all works and what he's trying to put the fear of God in the Bears a little bit. And he certainly did so by sharing his fondness for another market.
I think also something that I personally have felt a difference of that hasn't been exciting is playing in a little bit bigger market. You know, I think that that's something that, you know, going from Jacksonville to Chicago, you know, I remember when I signed to Chicago, when I first got off the flight and I started going around in Chicago, it's like, you know, wow, like this is a huge market. You know, they love the Bears. It's a ton of energy, you know, a sports city, you know, and I'm assuming New York is probably very similar to that. You know, when it comes to, you know, the Jets and the Giants and just, you know, being in the Big Apple, you know, and that's where I train anyway in the off season, you know, so I'm up there a lot. So I already kind of see it and feel it from a big city aspect. But, you know, that's also a part of that can kind of, you know, offset the taxes and stuff like that a little bit.
Attention Jets, attention Giants, get on the phone, call my agent, get yourself in the mix. You know, this is a dance that's being done.
This wasn't the dude to do that with. You don't have to overpay him. You probably
are we sure? I think they do have to overpay him.
They could have gotten this contract done by now. We still don't know what's happening with Kairos Santos.
Yeah, and it didn't get asked, did it?
No, and he made a difference on this team.
I realized that after the fact.
Because we don't know who the quarterback is. But that's cool. You know, they think they're only like one person away from a Super Bowl. No, they're not. And this is exactly my point. When we were asking so many questions about so many different individuals who actually positively affected the score, no, you're not one person away.
Did we get the quarterback exactly right?
No.
No. Do we win enough games? No.
No.
Everything else is fine.
No, it's not. No, that's why we're talking about it right now. Everything else, we wouldn't be talking about Allen Robinson now, would we? And this is the space I'm living in right now. I don't know why it gives me such anger, but it does.
312-644-6767. Feel free to weigh in as well. Jeff in Arlington Heights is on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
He's done a fantastic job. One of the things he told me early on was he wants to earn our respect, and he's definitely done that. Our camp has been going great, very focused work. We can see how methodical, how much Tony thinks about every little facet of the game, and we're responding to that well. Everything's been really, really good so far. I can't wait to keep it going.
You know that voice, that's Lucas Giolito. And Lucas Giolito was talking about his new manager, Tony La Russa. And someone who's going to be working with Lucas Giolito, having the pleasure to work with him as part of his regular rotating co-host on the Chris Rose Rotation podcast, is indeed this man, Chris Rose, who is on Twitter at Chris Rose and who joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or at apford.com. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hello, gang. I got two familiar voices, at least one that I really, really like, and one that I know. So it is great to be here. Thank you.
And you're on Twitch, and you're wearing a Pirates hat.
Yes. Yes, I am. But there's a reason for that. So as you mentioned, we just started the Chris Rose Rotation on John Boy Media this past week. And the thing that kind of separates this podcast from a lot of podcasts out there is by the name, it's a rotation of six active players. Lucas Giolito is going to be one of them. And then the others are Trevor May of the Mets, who is, that episode's already live. Stephen Brault of the Pirates, that one dropped today. So that's a little tip of the cap to Stephen Brault for joining me. Tyler Glasnow of the Rays, Archie Bradley of the Phillies, and Miguel Rojas of the Marlins. So even though I am a diehard Cleveland fan, and you two know that through and through, I will be donning the Bucco's gear to give them a little inspiration and hope they can get over the over under of 58.5 wins this year.
Unfortunately for the rest of the NL Central, that means somebody else would have to take those losses on. I think everybody in that division is hoping that they can just deal with the Pirates accordingly because you don't know if it's going to be the Cardinals, Cubs, or Brewers taking it necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. It's probably one of those three teams since the Reds lost Bauer to free agency and traded away Iglesias. And I wouldn't be shocked if by June, if that thing's going sideways, that Sonny Gray is on the move as well. So the Cubs are in a really interesting situation, right? I mean, Theo is like, you know, I'm going to leave the $10 million over here and Jed, you clean up the mess. So this is a really awkward year for the Cubs because everybody knows what could be coming. If they don't feel like they've got a World Series caliber team, then guys are going to get dealt. And it's just going to happen, and we've been waiting. And it'll be interesting to see how history remembers this group of Cubs if they do end up disbanding them, right? I mean, it already has happened a little bit, but I think that purge will continue. I think Milwaukee's actually the team to beat in this division. I love their bullpen, obviously, but I really like their starting rotation, too. You know, obviously they made a nice signing this morning of Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, there's not going to be a ball that gets in the gap anywhere out there. So I think the Cubs right now are fighting it out for second place with the Cardinals.
What do you make of the AL Central and how some of the talent's been distributed, how so much has left? Your poor, bereft Cleveland baseball team is a shell of what it was. They're dealing with some other things, too, that we're going to get into. But I don't see how it's not the White Sox division to have unless they falter.
Well, the Twins are weird. They're really pesky, right? They've lost some names in the offseason. I mean, Eddie Rosario was always kind of a guy that just, I mean, he hacks at everything, but he always got on base, and he did a lot of damage in that division. But I agree with you. I mean, I think it's the White Sox. I know that you two will be jumping up and down on the table, as you should be. For that, I think they're a really, really good team. I love adding Liam Hendricks to that mix. Some people are scared of adding a guy who's over 30 and will just, I mean, you saw it last year in the playoffs against the White Sox. I thought he was like trying to throw a complete game from like the eighth inning on. You know, what did he throw, like 1,000 pitches in that one game?
Virtually.
So, yeah, but he's a great personality to add to a real dynamic clubhouse as is. I'll be interested to watch the whole La Russa thing. I didn't love the hiring when it happened at all. I thought they could have gone in a way different direction, but that's one of the many things I'm curious about talking with Lucas Giolito about on the Rose rotation. You know, I mean, really, what is it like to walk into a clubhouse? How often do you get to play for a Hall of Fame manager? Like never, pretty much. So it's going to be really interesting. I imagine this is the nice thing about the podcast is that these guys really open up. They've got a long, it's not 8 or 10 minute interview. They are co-hosts for the entire show. They're not guests. So for an hour, if you're a White Sox fan, you will get Lucas Giolito for an hour every time he's on the show.
Well, it's a cool concept, that's for sure. And Ian Happ was also on our show earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. He's on every week. And he believed in this venture so much, part of John Boy Media, that he invested in it. What do you think about players like Ian trying to help out with this and promote a different product like what you guys are doing?
Well, he's not only a member, he's the president as well. What was that commercial back in the day?
So, I'm also a client,
yeah, Cy Sperling,
right?
Yes,
right. So he is actually bringing his podcast to John Boy Media, which is super exciting. So the more the merrier. Ian and I had a little talk about that recently. And, you know, I think it's great that he's going to have a players-only show out there. I think it's really important. You continue to get, you know, it's great for fans of baseball, right? Because the sport itself has done such an incredibly crappy job of promoting its players. Like when I joined on with MLB Network 10 years ago, I had 10 amazing years there and a ton of friends. But man, the league just does a terrible job of promoting its players. So many people ask me, why are you joining such a boring sport where the players have no personalities? I was like, hold on. Maybe it's the way we're covering the players that is boring, not the players themselves. And I think what you're going to realize with Ian's show and hopefully on my podcast as well, that there's a totally different side to these guys more than talking about hitting the 3-2 slider.
I would also say, I don't know how well you've gotten to know Ian, but just from my experience mm-hmm. that he's been a part of this, he is first team all mensch. I mean, really,
yeah, he
just
really is.
In my career, like I think the two baseball players who are just really just the nicest, smartest, classiest, best raised, Ian and Gordon Beckham. And obviously,
yep.
Ian is a. I was thinking about it the other day. I was speaking actually at a synagogue men's club that I do every, you know, once in a while. They ask me, I go, I sit down,
and
all these the old men, they sit in a room and they fart and they ask questions. And that was, and they started talking about that. And they said, who are actually some of the best people you've been around? And you know, top of my list is always Steve Kerr and mm-hmm. Gordon Beckham. And I would say that Ian just, you know, he's just a real dude. And it comes through on the compound. You know, when he's chopping it up with Dakota Mekis and with Zach Short, you know, these are young guys doing young guy things and being silly sometimes. But it works. I've become a listener. You know, I'm a regular listener. It's part of my routine. And I will continue to be.
Really, he should be. Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is that he, you know, some people will criticize active players for saying, well, if you just focused more on your job instead of everything else, then you'd be better. And I always think to myself, so when they're not at the ballpark, should they be hitting off a tee at home or should they be clearing their head and doing something that they're passionate about? Like, isn't that what you want? You want, well, like, I don't know what you two do when you're at home. I'm not walking around with a microphone and a camera on me the whole time. Like, that's not what I'm doing. You know, I'm hanging out with my family. I'm watching my kid play football. I'm, you know, getting yelled at by my wife. I mean, I'm doing regular things here, you know. And so we expect, you know, Ian Happ should be able to do whatever the hell he wants to till he checks in at Wrigley Field at 1 o'clock on a game day, 6 hours before, right, first pitch. And then he starts taking stuff seriously. He'll be ready to go. It's ridiculous.
It is so funny. It's so funny you say that because, like, I have to tell my son. My son is 16, and and sports crazed, and I have to tell him I don't want to do a show right now. It's like, Dad, who are the four best NBA players if you only count? So, like, dude, do a podcast, do it yourself, talk to the mirror. I don't want to do sports radio right now.
But that's okay. I mean, then you know what? Social services will be knocking on your door, Dan. You're taking your kid away because obviously you don't love your child.
Right, clearly.
In fact, I've heard rumors that I'm not even so sure that kid is yours. Can we have the DNA swab back by Friday show? I mean, really, that's perfectly fine. You know, if you want to just disassociate from your family, I'm not here to tell you how to do it, Dan.
No, some days I would actually encourage them to take him. Just you know, come over at least, you know, for the next 6 hours, please take him. Bring him back, but you're going to have him for a while.
Well, what's funny, too, is I love that you're saying this, Chris, because when I think about you, you are everywhere. NFL Network, BattleBots, MLB Network. The new podcast you have now, like you are a man of many, many interests professionally. And so it's nice to hear you talk about your free time, too. And I'm sure that's going to get brought up with the players that you talk to in this podcast because they are men who are multifaceted, especially.
Yeah, there's no question. And by the way, no more MLB Network. One of the many reasons I get to join on with John Boy Media, which is kind of a cool thing for me.
Right, but previously.
Yes, but I mean, listen. You only have 24 hours in a day, right? And so it's interesting. The first guy we had on this podcast is Trevor May. And for people that follow him, they know he is huge in the gaming world. When I tell you he's huge, like he is a substantial investor in several platforms there. He streams for hours a day on Twitch and puts his headset on. And we talked about that. And I said, listen, you're not in Minnesota anymore. You know, he was a really good setup guy for the Twins for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Now you sign this 2-year, $15 million free agent deal to become a setup guy in New York. It's a different game. He said, I get that. He goes, and some people, he goes, inevitably, when I pitch 60 or 65 games this year, there's going to be days where I suck. And so people are going to start asking me, well, why are you doing the Chris Rose rotation? Why are you streaming on Twitch all the time? And he said, his answer is going to be, guys, that has nothing to do with the fact that I hung a slider today. I just sucked. And that was the problem. It wasn't anything else. It was I didn't execute. And he said, I've really thought about what it means to jump from a team where, you know, the fans in Minnesota and Minneapolis are such wonderful people. But they're like, hey, good try. It's okay. It's okay. We'll get them tomorrow. In New York, they're going to start throwing stuff at you. Right. And he gets that and he welcomes that. So, I mean, I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, good for him because he's right. One is not connected to the other. And I remember this city was up in arms after the Bears lost a playoff game that Jay Cutler was seen going out for dinner. I'm like, what is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to, you know, punish himself and rend his flesh and eat gruel? I mean, they lost a game. His season's over. Right. His family's telling him he went out to dinner. I don't like Jay Cutler either, but I had to defend him there. Speaking of football, I don't know if you continued as a Browns fan in the same way that you have, because I know the baseball team's been important to you. But what a hell of a season! You long-suffering Browns fans have had this coming for a while.
Yeah, so I grew up in the mid-'80s in Cleveland when a lot of your listeners are like, wait, the Browns were good? Yes, three times in 4 years they went to the AFC Championship and ended up losing to John Elway and the Denver Broncos. But as much success as the Indians have had, they haven't won it all, but they had a lot of success so far under Terry Francona. And obviously with LeBron being in town, the Cavs were a huge draw and won it all in 2016. I told my two boys who are now 20 and 15, I've always told them, I said, guys, the Cavs and Indians have brought you a ton of enjoyment. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, for a Cleveland fan like when the Browns are good and in contention. They're like, no way, Dad. Not buying it. Because since they come back in the league in 99, they have stunk. They had two winning seasons since then prior to this year. And finally, they started to get their you-know-what together. And in December, they were playing meaningful games, really for the first time in my kids' lives. And they're getting nervous during the week. They're like, oh, my God, we lost to the Jets. How the heck are we going to beat Pittsburgh and make it into the playoffs? I was like, this is what I was like when I was 15. Like, you're having all the feelings here. This is perfect. And then for them to have won that game against a watered-down Pittsburgh team in Week 17 and then go kick their ass the following Sunday without their head coach because of COVID, it was one of the great, great memories for me as a Cleveland Browns fan. And I've been around a lot of great stuff, and it's a season I won't forget anytime soon.
I will also say this, as a non-Browns fan, we were all keyed in on that second game, especially the second matchup between those two teams.
Because totally.
That was something that we were all paying attention to just to see what was going to happen. And yeah, it was a fun 2 weeks at least to mix it up as an NFL fan in general.
Yeah, it's not just that. It was the way the players were behaving on the sidelines and the energy that it's
totally.
It's one of these rare chances that a fan's feeling and a fan's energy is channeled and reflected in an immensely satisfying way. That doesn't happen all the time because usually that's not how a team is going to perform at its best. But that was one of those that you'll never forget. Like you're going through the television and there. Acting like you're acting, and everybody kind of came together.
Well, if they were acting like I was acting, then they were acting like a fool because I was at work and I was about to go on for our post-game show at NFL Network. And so we watched it in a huge theater room, but it was just myself and our two producers and researcher. And when that snap by Pouncey went over Roethlisberger's head, I jumped out of my chair and yelled about 15 expletives and went nuts. And I turned around. And there are three guys looking at me like this. like Rosie, you all right? And every time, we went up 14-0 on the touchdown to Landry, and then we had another interception. We're up 21-0. And I think I blacked out about five times in that game. And it was so much fun to do. And then afterward, we had Joe Thomas on the show, who's one of my colleagues at NFL Network, and they surprised me with him. And he's about, 12 beers in and just loving life. I was like, this is so Cleveland right now. This is just perfect.
It is perfect. And it was really fun to watch. And I'm so curious about your show coming up with Lucas Giolito with the podcast, because we all know Lucas can talk. He's not afraid of discussing anything. There are no secrets. But I still know, knowing you, you're going to get him to talk about stuff that he might not normally talk about. What are some of the things you're looking forward to discussing with him?
Well, you're putting me on the spot because we're recording Archie Bradley today and then Miguel Rojas tomorrow. So I haven't even really started to dive in. That's my weekend project with Lucas Giolito. So I don't want to, I promise that when his episode airs in about 2 weeks or so that I will gladly come back and share with you some of the good stuff I'm going to dive into. The interesting thing is that, my 15-year-old's hitting/pitching coach is part of Harvard Westlake.
Oh, wow.
And which is where, of course, Lucas went to high school out here.
Ethan
so
Katz.
I'm digging behind the scenes, shall we say, for some good nuggets that we haven't heard. Everybody knows that he went to high school with Max Fried and Jack Flaherty. Like, we're not touching on that stuff. We're going for a deep, deep dive about what made Lucas tick back in the day.
Oh yeah, forgive me for jumping the gun a little bit, but I just know it's going to be a good one for sure.
Oh yeah, it will be good. It'll be fun. And there's you know, he was super excited. He was the last guy I got to sign on, and you know, he was a little cautious about stuff, as all these guys should be, because their job is to strike out major leaguers or hit home runs in Miguel Rojas's case. But they were, so many of them were excited about the opportunity to deliver a different side to fans. To me, that's the big win here, right? Is that we get to know these guys, and so it makes rooting for them that much more enticing.
The Rose Rotation with Chris Rose on John Boy Media sounds like it's going to be terrific. Look forward to listening to it. Always great catching up. Continued good health to you and yours, Chris.
Thank you, and here's to J2 at Camp North Star, Danny.
J2, hey, my son was in J2, and I told him the stories. I told him, same canoe trip, same campsite on the big sand dune and everything. So he put in his 7 years, and now, unfortunately, baseball and hockey are taking the priority.
Got it.
You know how that goes.
So this is the son that you don't want to have sports talks with, right? The one you don't love as much?
I'm happy to do it. We have to work out a compensation plan because sometimes it feels like work.
I understand that. Yeah. You get him to sign that contract.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so
appreciate
much.
It.
You guys stay healthy. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
That is Chris Rose, NFL Network, BattleBots, and the Rose Rotation Podcast.
He's always got something awesome cooking. That's it. That's it, really.
He's a talented dude. You know, that was the kid who would camp when the sporting news would come. And there were several people that would fight over all the box scores and the minor league box scores. I was one of them, and Chris was one of them, and we'd share. And we would walk from cabin to cabin, and then you'd end up with three pages. Like, well, where's the AA box scores? And we'd be going through all this stuff, and it'd be marked up, and he'd draw in the margins because of the Cleveland players he's following and all this. But fun times indeed. The Midday Midway is up. We created a monster yesterday during the Midday Midway. We might have ruined someone's day.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay. I'm really curious. Let's keep on this Browns vibe. I'll see the Browns, and I'll raise it with a story about something that has been confirmed that nobody seems to care about, but it's kind of freaking me out, and it will with you too.
That's coming up next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
First half or the second half, they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight one because this is a very late Midday Midway. Ian Happ started the show, then we talked to Liam Hendricks, and then we talked some Bulls, then Bears, then Chris Rose.
Yeah, this is a busy show. American Airlines, have you read this story about the pilot who reported the UFO? And we're all just kind of chilling like it's not a big deal and nobody's denying it. I don't get it. I don't get why more people aren't freaking out about this.
Okay.
This is a while back. An American Airlines pilot said he saw a long cylindrical object coming startlingly close to the aircraft as it was flying over New Mexico. And the FBI said it was aware of the incident. There was nothing reported in the airspace because you wouldn't be flying there if there was.
It could be some it's usually some weather balloon.
Refuse to believe it with Doppler radar and the advent of much better technology since 1984 that suddenly we're still using weather balloons. And nobody said it was a weather balloon. He described it, and he said it almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast. It went right over the top of us. The FAA said air traffic controllers did not see any object in the area on their radar scopes. So if it can't be detected by radar, sure sounds like a UFO, but after the junk year we've all had, nobody seems to care. Well, that had been in my mind for a while, and then I woke up to the tweet from Baker Mayfield this morning that said, Baker Mayfield, almost 100% M and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if each other of us saw it. Very bright ball going straight down out of the sky toward Lake Travis. Did anyone else witness this?
That's probably a meteor.
Perhaps, but the replies were absolute gold. Because Twitter just went off. And maybe the best ones are the ones that say, I believe. And instead of it being an alien, it's a Super Bowl trophy. And then there's a picture of an alien typing at a computer with a Browns helmet behind him saying, we believe.
Well, look, our own Doug Buffone insisted that he saw one. And the fact is, it is a UFO by definition. It is one. It's an unidentified flying object. It doesn't mean it's aliens. It just means it's something flying that's not identified. So by definition, both are UFOs.
I just don't think there's all these weather balloons that people think they are.
I don't know if we use weather balloons anymore, do we? I think there's...
I'm pretty sure Doppler radar and stuff like that negated the need. So when everybody says weather balloons, I'm like, okay.
So everybody's phone right now is an Exergen weather center, right? Because we have pretty much everything we need at a touch of a thumb. So I don't know. Cylindrical, cruise missile-y, and not on radar?
And nobody's denying it. That's the other part. Nobody's come out and said he's wrong. Nobody said, you didn't see what you saw. Normally, they try to make you feel like you're crazy. That's not happening here.
And New Mexico. Right. Where there's a history,
look,
supposedly.
I know it's a short midway, and we'll get into it another time, but I am a full believer. So anytime you want to put the foil hat on and talk aliens, I am down.
You think the Browns are going to win a Super Bowl? Is that what I'm to understand?
Oh, no, but I believe in aliens.
Putting on the foil. So yesterday in this space, we were talking about mundane superpowers. And I think it merits a full Friday Fung segment because some of the responses were just hilarious.
I'm in.
I mentioned I have toupee dar that I can spot a toupee from anywhere, and I just know it. And someone else texted in that for some reason lights fail in his presence.
I saw that. That was a good
one. Whether it's light bulbs in his home or street lamps, that something about his aura causes lights to fail. Well, Lynn Bramer, our friend, our longtime coworker and dear friend of WXRT, says that if you tell him the first album that you bought with your own money, he will tell you exactly how old you are. He did this all day on Twitter yesterday. All day, all night, into this morning, he responded to everybody, obscure albums, and he had everything pinned down. And he would say things like, well, if you had an older sibling, based on the choice, based on how the level of artsy-fartsiness, how obscure, he said, wait a second, that's probably too obscure for someone who was in sixth grade at the time, so you probably discovered that older. And he sort of told us how he did it. He gave us the magic tricks. It's amazing. He was getting it like to the year. You're 51, you're 46, you're 38, you're 50, just based on the first album.
Well, that's because we all know that Lynn Bramer has many superpowers, and frankly nobody's gonna not take him seriously whenever they hear this. They're going to believe him because he's proven to have others.
Yeah, I know he can make a half a pizza disappear on a Friday in like 30 seconds. So that's a pretty special superpower.
Pizza Friday. But what is it really?
Yeah, I don't get
Do
it.
Any of us know?
I don't think we're supposed to understand the concept.
Speaking of the mystery of Pizza Friday, you know, Shane Reardon also had the same issue. He told us that his superpower was being able to identify breeds in dogs, not just like a purebred dog from a dog show.
Oh, no, he can look at a mutt and say it's like one quarter cattle dog, one quarter of pug. Yeah, okay.
And I retweeted it. Did I retweet it perhaps to see pictures of dogs at my mentions? Maybe. Maybe it's also all weather balloons when people talk about UFOs. It's not all weather balloons, guys.
That is the Midday Midway. That's an intense, packed-together Midday Midway for you. Next up, we mentioned that Pedro Strop is back as a Cub. Your day will always be better when you hear from Pedro Strop. So you will, next, on Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.